This episode of the Find Food Freedom podcast is brought to you by the Find Food Freedom membership. If you are ready to walk away from diet culture, find food freedom, and enjoy your life again, you can learn more and sign up at findfoodfreedommembership.com. Don't forget to use code IWANTFOODFREEDOM for 3 months completely free. Welcome to the Find Food Freedom podcast. This is your host, Sammy Previtt, registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, certified personal trainer, and the founder of Find Food Freedom. Find Food Freedom is a virtual private practice made up of a team of intuitive eating professionals, and we also just so happen to host this amazing podcast. This podcast is for you if you are ready to remove the guilt and shame associated to food, body, and movement. Our team is dedicated to helping you find food freedom and rediscover how to feel physically, mentally, and emotionally pleasant in your body. Please note that this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and does not take place of professional therapy or medical care. We have tons and tons of free resources on social media, so I want to invite you to follow along at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. You can always head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com to find out what current events, specials, and all things Find Food Freedom that are going on. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. This helps other people find the podcast that really need it. And when you review, please leave some comments, some questions. Let us know what you want to hear more of. So thank you so much for being here. And we look forward to supporting you and walking alongside you on your food freedom journey. Now, let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of the Find Food Freedom podcast. Today, we're jumping into some frequently asked questions, for sure. One common question that we get asked all the time is, am I allowed to meal prep as an intuitive eater? Is intuitive eating and meal prepping something that can go together? Am I dieting if I meal prep? And so I'm excited to jump into this topic today and just really do a little bit of myth busting about meal prepping. So one thing I find very funny, let's call it funny, about meal prepping is if you Google, like, what is the definition of meal prepping or how do I define meal prepping? This is just like copy and pasted straight up from Google. It'll tell you that meal prepping is simply the act of preparing a meal or recipe and then portioning out the leftovers to create grab and go meals for later. So I think meal prep has become this like very hot topic in diet culture or just in the wellness industry. People think that the words meal prepping mean something like sexy almost, when it's literally just leftovers, right? If you have leftovers from any meal and then you put them into a container, but instead of one big container, you're going to put them in a bunch of little containers that you can take easily, kind of saving yourself that step, right? Now, so if you've ever had leftovers, you've meal prepped, okay? Maybe unknowingly, right? Now, we did a series on TikTok a few months back called Disordered or Healthy. And I was breaking down different habits, behaviors, things, right, that we see and saying, okay, is this a form of like chronic dieting and disordered eating? Or is this actually a health promoting behavior? And I feel like meal prep is such a perfect topic to go into that series or to fit into that mold, right? Because the answer is both. And what I mean by that is meal prep is both disordered and can also be health promoting. Now, not at the same time necessarily. It comes back to what is your intention behind implementing meal prepping into your life. Okay. So I'm going to use some very specific examples and break this down, some personal, some lived experiences that my clients share with me, so we can really understand what I mean by that. Like, what's the intention behind your meal prep? So first of all, this podcast can feel, this specific episode can feel very icky once we get into some of the meal prep stuff, if you have not made peace with food yet. And what I mean by that is, if you still feel guilt and shame with food, if you still feel like you don't have permission to eat whatever you want, you don't have that unconditional permission to eat, then there are parts of this conversation that I might just encourage you to maybe come back to this episode at a later time, right? Why don't you go find one of our episodes that's entitled How to Make Peace with Food or Dropping the Guilt and Shame with Food. Like, those things really need to come first before we can get into this nuance. So I just want to kind of put that out there as, I don't even know if I would say a trigger warning, but just only you know your intentions behind listening to this podcast. And if you're like, hey, I still got a lot of work to do with my relationship with food, then maybe we kind of table this conversation for later. But let's get into it. So, examples. When I say your intention behind meal prepping, it means everything. Like, that is going to determine whether it is a disordered behavior or a health promoting behavior. So let's give some examples. Okay, let's say I am working an office job, which I'm not because I work from home. But let's say I'm working an office job. And this is, again, these scenarios I've heard so many times with actual clients. So let me like tap into my client history in my brain. Okay, I have a client I'm thinking about. This client, we worked together for years on end. And near the end of her journey, she was like, Sammy, I want to start bringing these overnight oats that I saw on Instagram. They looked delicious. I want to try the recipe and I want to bring them to work with me this week as a breakfast option. But I'm scared because, does that mean that I'm dieting? And this is such a common question that we get, is when people start to prepare food for themselves, which is an act of self-care, they'll start to fear that they're going back into dieting. Now, when the client asks me that, I want to pull from her, like her inner knowing, right? Only she knows if it's dieting or not. So I started to ask some probing questions. I said, what is your intention behind bringing these overnight oats with you? And she was like, to make my mornings easier. I don't have time to cook. They're easy to eat on the go. When I put them in a mason jar or a Tupperware container, I can eat them like on my way to work. It is a great way to increase my nutrient density and add more fiber. Now, again, please know that some of the things that she pulled from, this is a more advanced client where she'd been working with me for a very long time. So a lot of that verbiage was there when it came to the intention behind why she was including these things into her daily routine and why she wanted to. And so I was like, okay, that all sounds great. So I was like, okay, if a friend came to you and she's like, hey, I want to start adding these overnight oats in because it's going to make my mornings easier. It's going to be quick, easy fuel. I can eat it on the go to work. It's going to increase my nutrient density. It's like, what would you say to her? And she was like, that sounds great. I'm like, awesome. That sounds great, right? Like, that's a positive thing. That is an act of self-care when we can determine that the intention is enhancing our life, right? It's adding quick, easy fuel. It's actually helping stress management by making our mornings easier. It's something easy to eat on the go. It's a way to increase nutrient density if that's a personal goal of yours. Remember, health is not a moral obligation and you don't owe that to anyone. So that specific example, meal prepping in this example, is a perfect, perfect picture of meal prepping being just simply a health promoting behavior. Now, I'm going to use myself and more my husband as an example, is we have a now 10-month-old. But before she entered the picture, when I was very pregnant, we were like, okay, what are some things that we can start to do now before the baby comes that is going to make our lives a hell of a lot easier? And my husband loves to cook. We love making breakfast burritos. He makes these delicious breakfast burritos. They're easy to freeze. So we can make a lot of them, right? We can batch cook them and we can freeze them in foil and then put them in to some Ziploc bags. And we can have these breakfast burritos for when baby comes. So when he's running out the door to work, when I took my maternity leave for the first 3 months, I can say, okay, he's gone, but I can just grab this burrito out of the fridge. I can put it in the toaster oven and I can heat it up. Now, when we're looking at, again, what was the intention behind making the breakfast burritos? The intention was to have quick and easy fuel, to have something to nourish my body, to have something when life gets crazy out there and I don't have time to think about what I'm going to eat, but I want something to nourish my body. Do you notice how the intention behind this meal prep is fully a form of self-care? Now, let's give examples of my client, her and her overnight oats and my breakfast burrito, right? Those are two totally different situations. Let's change the intention. Let's go back to my client. Okay. Let's pretend I asked her, okay, well, what's your intention behind these overnight oats? And she said, I want to know exactly how many calories I'm eating. I am only allowed to eat this food, or when I eat this food, I feel like I'm a good person versus when I eat some other type of food. I want to eat the overnight oats to, air quotes, control my, that beast inside of me, right? Like I feel like if I tell myself I'm only allowed to eat this, this will control me. Do you see how those are very, very different than what my client was saying? So her intention was coming from a place of self-care. Those intentions that I just listed off, those are examples of diet culture. Now let's go back to the breakfast burritos, right? Let's say that I was, especially let's make this extremely postpartum specific, just because that was the intention of the burritos, right? Was to help fuel me postpartum, to give me something when I didn't have energy to cook myself. So let's pretend that I said, I want these breakfast burritos because I need to lose weight right when this baby pops out. I want to make these calorie light, right? Like I'm going to try to put only vegetables in them and no fat. And I'm going to restrict this and cut this. And I'm going to try to make these super diety and consume them and only allow myself to eat these, because then maybe it'll stop me from eating some more calorie dense foods, right? See how that intention is just so different. Like we were looking at these breakfast burritos saying, how can we add as much energy as possible to them to make mealtime easy and to get nourishment into me as quickly as possible? So these are just two very simple, very different examples about how when you shift the intention behind meal prep, that will determine if the meal prep itself is disordered or healthy. So here's the part of the episode where in the beginning I had mentioned, if you still feel like you have guilt and shame with food, or if you still feel like you haven't made peace with food, this part of the conversation may start to feel a little icky. Like we may not be ready for this yet. And remember, that's okay. Because when we talk about gentle nutrition, when we talk about honoring our health in different ways, specifically today, we're talking about meal prep as a form of self-care. We just may not be ready to hear this information yet if we haven't made peace with food. So I wanted to give just a few tips, I guess you could call it like meal prepping 101. And this is coming from somebody who absolutely hates cooking, and whose husband does the majority of the cooking. So this is not to be like a chef. This is not to give cooking tips, but more so when we come back to this idea of meal prepping. And if you're at a place in your intuitive eating food freedom journey where you're saying, I know I have unconditional permission to eat, I absolutely believe wholeheartedly that all foods fit, and I want to prepare some things to make my life easier to be able to fuel and nourish myself more in a more simple way, this is possible for you. And that's where this part of the conversation is starting to go to. So this is where I want to make it clear that you do not need to be a chef. You do not need to spend hours in the kitchen. You do not need to create these like 5-course meals and have all this fancy Tupperware. Like, again, I think this is what meal prep, what we can perceive it to be when we follow it on, if you look up like hashtag meal prepping on, you know, Instagram or whatever. But I want to really keep it broad for you. Like, if you're someone who's like, how do I do this? Like, let's think one meal, right? One meal or one thing, one part of a meal that can bring you many different meals. And you'll see what I mean. So I usually like to think about it, start with the protein source. Now, for this example, I'm going to use chicken. If you're like, Sammy, I'm chickened out, I don't want to think about chicken, then don't think about chicken. You can do beef. You could do salmon. You could do pork. You could do edamame. You could do chickpeas. You could do tofu, right? There's many different ways that we can do this. I'm just, for this example, going to use chicken because it's simple. And I like chicken. I also like many other forms of protein, but let's do it. All right. So you have your protein base, right? If we think about, okay, let's say it's a Sunday, we got a busy work week ahead and we're like, I want to make meals not only for lunch, but I also want some things for dinner too. So when I come home from work, I don't have to be just, you know, cooking all the time. Well, can we prep one protein? And for this example, I'm saying chicken. Again, you can make it whatever you want it to be. And whether it's baking those chicken breasts, whether it's putting them in a slow cooker. So you could actually put chicken breasts in a slow cooker, cover it, dump a jar of salsa in there. And now we have this slow cooked chicken that has this kind of salsa taste to it, or this flavor to it. Can we have that in the refrigerator for the week? And then that next step is, okay, well, what carbohydrates do I need to have in the house that's going to help balance this meal, make it also more satisfying in different ways? Because if we think about chicken, if it's this slow cooked chicken, we're going to want maybe something crunchy because the chicken is soft. So that's having maybe crispy or crunchy tortilla shells. Maybe that's having nacho chips or like a corn chip in the house. Maybe that's having tortillas, like nice big round tortillas, having rice, microwavable rice. And, or of course, we can make rice from scratch. We could also pull in like a crispy, crunchy romaine if we're going to go like a salad option as well. So see how we just pulled in between, we said tortillas, chips, rice, a romaine base. All of these different things are going to yield different types of meals. So with the pulled chicken, we could pull together tacos, right? Soft shell or hard shell. We could throw together quesadillas, right? Melt some cheese with that nice big tortilla, have an ooey gooey quesadilla. We could put that chicken over top a crunchy romaine base, add a bunch of fixings. There's like our chicken taco salad. We could make a chicken wrap, add some more crunchy veggies and some things in there. So the same exact wraps that we're using for that quesadilla, now we could maybe add some hummus and some other veggies and do a wrap here. We could do a nacho platter. So we could put some chips out, throw that chicken on top, some cheese, avocado, beans, you know, all the fixings. Now we have a nacho platter for dinner. Again, we said rice earlier. We can make a rice bowl. So we're doing rice, we're doing chicken. We can add some veggies, some different condiments in there. With that pulled chicken, we just spitballed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different types of meals having one type of chicken, or excuse me, one type of protein, right? But this pulled chicken in this example, having the tortillas, the chips, the rice, the bed of romaine, right? That crunchy romaine. And now that next step is just thinking, where am I getting my flavor? Where am I getting different textures? So that's where it's, are we getting different kinds of salsas, guac, crema type dips and sauces? We can get a verde sauce. We could get some type of sour cream yogurt based sauces. We can pull in different crunchy veggies. You can get things that are pre-chopped to make your life easier. We can get different types of cheeses. All of the things that we're speaking about, again, are coming from, we have that base protein, a few different types of carbs to really add some oomph to the meal. And then we can add different flavorings, different textures through those veggies, through those condiments. So what we just spoke about, if you did the pulled chicken version of this, you could, if you have a crock pot, right, you throw it in the crock pot, you're not cooking, you're just letting it sit there. Technically, you are cooking, but you're not actually having to do anything, right? You just throw it in there. And then it's really just assembly from there. When we think about making the tacos, the quesadillas, the wraps, the nachos, the rice bowls, it's really just assembling. And so just that one act of making a protein, thinking about, okay, what are other things I need in the house to make simple meals? This can go a really, really long way from a form of self-care, right? Like for the week, it can set you up for success. And when I say success, I don't even like using the word success because it reminds me of diet culture. I mean, if you have a busy work week, if you have trouble getting access to food, if you have trouble fueling yourself, if you feel like you're always ordering takeout and you're like, my wallet can't sustain this anymore because I need food from home. Great way to start to do that. So when we talk about meal prepping with intuitive eating, it always comes back to the intention, right? That was the first half of this episode. And so let's say you meal prep these different types of rice bowls or quesadillas or tacos. This is not about saying this is the only food that you're allowed to eat and you're not allowed to eat other types of food, right? This is prepping that food to get you nourishment for your week, to make your life easier, to reduce stress. If the thought of meal prepping, or even just the example I gave with the chicken and all these different types of meals that we can create, if those thoughts feel stressful for you, like you feel a tightness in your chest, you're like gritting your teeth, you're like, oh, this is just not it. Like, this is bringing me stress. That is okay. You need to listen to you. You don't need to do any of this. This is not, I want to make it very clear that this episode is not saying, here's how to meal prep perfect meals and here's what you need to eat. No, that's bullshit. This is for the people that have made peace with food. They know they have unconditional permission to eat, but they struggle with combining foods and simply making meals that are going to fuel their work weeks or just their weeks in general. So thank you so much for being here. And again, this podcast episode and all episodes are really meant to plant seeds of curiosity. How do you relate to food? How do you relate to nutrition? How do you relate to the word meal prepping? That in and of itself, if you walk away from this episode with nothing but remembering this, I want you to think about, how do you relate to the world, the word meal prepping? How do you relate to the word meal prepping? And with that, if it's not the intention that we spoke about today, if it's not from a place of self-care, then guess what? You don't need to do it. You don't need to do it. And even if you do relate to it in a form of self-care and you're like, yeah, no, that would help me, still don't need to do it. Health is not a moral obligation. You do not owe your health to anyone, right? It's these tools are here for you if you need them, if you want them. So Thank you so much for being here. That is our breakdown on meal prepping and intuitive eating. And we will see you next week on the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Bye. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, because then we get to help people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to our social channels and follow us at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. I also want to give you a free gift simply just for showing up today. So if you head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com, you are going to get a free gift, again, just for being here. It's a training entitled, What the Hell is Intuitive Eating and How Do I Get Started? This training breaks down what intuitive eating actually is and isn't, along with breaking down the three biggest myths with intuitive eating, and will give you some practical steps to get started on your food freedom journey. So if you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody who you think needs to hear it. And when you rate and review, leave us some feedback, what you want to hear more of, what questions you have. The more that you share this podcast, the more this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. So thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Bye.